Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Let's open up our hearts. Let's put our hands together. Let's prepare to praise. Let's sing this out together.
Did you feel the mountains tremble? Did you hear the oceans roar? When the people rose to sing up Jesus Christ, the risen one.
Together, let's say.
Did you feel the people tremble? Did you hear the singers roar? When the lost began to sing, Jesus Christ, the saving one.
Yeah.
And we can see that God, you're moving. Mighty river through the nations, when young and old will turn to Jesus.
Sing it out today.
Fling wide you heavenly gates, prepare the way of the risen Lord.
Hey. All together, let's sing it out. Sing this together now with our hearts. Did you feel?
Did you feel the darkness tremble when all the saints join in one song and all the streams flow as one river to wash away our brokenness?
We gotta sing that verse again. Think about what you're singing right here. Here we go. Did you feel?
Did you feel the darkness tremble when all the saints join in one song and all the streams flow as one river to wash away our brokenness?
Here we see,
and here we see that God, you're moving. A time of jubilee is coming. Young and old return to Jesus.
Here we go.
Fling wide you heavenly gates. Prepare.
Yeah.
Did you feel the darkness tremble when the saints joined in one song? Lord, unite our hearts, unite our minds in Christ Jesus today. Help us to be a people of love, to see singing in the streets again, dancers dancing upon injustice. Lord, let your new creation come. Let your new creation come, Lord. Open up the gates. Open up the doors. Let the King come in. As a sign of our unity, let's sing this melody out today. Let's sing. Sing that with me. We sing an oh. Together, amazing love.
Amazing love that welcomes me. The kindness of mercy that bought with blood wholeheartedly my soul undeserving.
And so we say,
so
You got, cry it out. And God, you're so good. Go. Good morning.
Good morning.
Happy Eastertide. For Christians, we get to celebrate resurrection for 50 days. Not just one Sunday, but a whole collection of them. Would you be seated this morning? I can't think of any better way to celebrate resurrection, to celebrate new life, to celebrate new creation, to celebrate all of the hope that we have in Jesus than water baptism. By coming alongside people whose lives have been changed by Jesus and celebrating with them as they go into the waters of baptism, reminding ourselves of the death that Jesus died for us, participating in it, and then coming up out of the waters of baptism into resurrection life, into new life, into a recognition of all that Jesus has accomplished for us. And so I'm going to invite all of our baptism candidates and their families to come and line up down here along the front. And as they're lining up, here's what we're going to do. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to go through an ancient baptism liturgy. So all the way back to the early centuries of the church, there are documents that talk about how the church has practiced baptism for thousands of years. And one of them is a document that lists out questions that people were asked before baptism as a way of affirming what it is that they believe, who they believe in, placing our trust in Jesus. And so we're going to go through that liturgy together. We're going to ask them these questions. But when we do that, it's going to be participatory for you as well. And so when I ask them the questions, they're going to respond with, I do. And you are also going to respond with, I do. His baptism is communal. We baptize in church because this is part of being included in the body of Christ. And so we want to echo our voices with them. And then after we do that, we're going to line them up. We're going to go into the waters of baptism. There's going to be video that's going to come up on the screen so that you can follow along. But again, it's not just observatory. You get to be participatory. One of the images that the scriptures give us is that when people come to Jesus, all of heaven breaks out in a raucous applause. And so as people come up out of the waters, I want to hear you scream. So we're going to practice one time really quickly. I'm going to count to three, and then you're going to scream, okay? Just as a way of, you know, loosening up whatever coffee is still hanging around and those things. But we're just going to practice one time. Ready? One, two, three. Yes. Yes. All right. If you guys want to turn around and face everybody, I'm going to face the congregation here and your family, your brothers and sisters in Jesus, your crazy aunts and uncles. If you want to face them, then I'm going to ask you the questions. And after each one, we're going to say, I do. And they're going to join you in saying, I do as well. So questions are going to come. We're going to be four questions. One about the Father, one about the Son, one about the Spirit, and one about the church. The one about the Son is really long. So just hang with me as we read through that one. First one, do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth? If so, say, I do. We can do better than that. If so, say, I do. Yes. All right, second one. This is the long one. Hang in there with me. Do you believe in Christ Jesus, the Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, true God from true God, begotten and not made, of one being with the Father, through whom all things were made, and who came down from heaven and was born of the Holy Spirit and of the Virgin and was made man and was crucified and died and rose on the third day, living from among the dead. And he ascended into heaven and he sat down at the right hand of the Father, and the one who will come again to judge the living and the dead. If so, say, I do.
I do.
All right. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life who proceeds from the Father? If so, say, I do.
I do.
And here we go, last one. Do you believe in the Holy Church, in the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come? If so, say, I do. All right, let's line you up where Emily and Evan had you ready to go, and then we'll get the tanks all ready from here. So as people come down into the baptismal area, they'll enter into the tank, and then either Pastor Evan or I or one of the other participants will say, based on your confession of faith, we now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We'll take them down under the water, and then we always bring them back up just in case there was any questions about that. And then at that moment, we'll take some anointing oil and anoint their heads and say, be filled with the Holy Spirit. The recognition that it's the Spirit of the living God that is at work in our lives and at work in these moments. And so we'll be praying that the Spirit would meet them in unique and special ways. So Evan, you're on that side? All right.
Ready to go.
Here we go. Emily's our master of ceremonies, so she makes sure everybody gets where they need to go.
Thanks, Declan. Step on up.
There you go. You want to step on up?
You sit on your,
you want to take your
sit
down?
There you go. Declan, based on your confession of faith, we baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now be filled with the presence of God.
Face that direction. Turn around that way. So there you go. And then you can sit all the way down. All right. Is Adeline, is I pronouncing your name right? Okay, you want to hold your nose, like grab your wrist right there. Adeline, based on your confession of faith, we now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God, Adeline.
All right, we got Sister Emily over here if you guys want to reset, parents. Perfect. Emily, based on your confession of faith, we baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Now be filled with the presence and the Spirit of God.
And sit on down. All right, this is Micah, and Micah's big brother, Alex, is going to do his baptism today. Alex attended here in high school at New Life Downtown, went on to GCU and then to DenSam, and was just installed as a pastor at New Life Friday night. Gets to be here with this moment with his younger brother. So, gotta grab your nose. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Micah.
All right, this is Megan. Megan, on your confession of faith, we baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the presence of God.
All right, come on in, Liam. Kick your shoes off there. Those look like nice sandals. We don't want to get those wet. You want to sit on down, face that way. This is Liam Nelson, his dad Andy, coming in to help us. There you go. Well done. You're all ready to go, man. Liam, based on your confession of faith, we now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit of the living God, Liam.
This is Emily, our old neighbor and friend. And Emily, based on your confession of faith, we baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the presence of God.
And then turn around and face that way. And then sit on down. And I want to make sure I pronounce your name right. Qualin? Qualin.
Yeah.
All right, Qualin, if you want to plug your nose, and there you go. Qualin, based on your confession of faith, We now baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit of the living God. Is that everybody? Awesome. Would you stand? We want to celebrate together and sing the roof off this place. So let's sing in celebration of God's great work in the lives of his people.
With us, you guys can take a seat and let's prepare our hearts for the reading of the scriptures.
Good morning. My name is Bob. The Old Testament reading is found in Ezekiel 36. Verses 24 through 28. I will take you from the nations, I will gather you from all the countries, and I will bring you to your own fertile land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be cleansed of all your pollution. I will cleanse you of all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove your stony heart from your body and replace it with a living one. And I will give you my spirit so that you may walk according to my regulations and carefully observe my case laws. Then you will live in the land that I gave to your ancestors. You will be my people, and I will be your God. The word of the Lord.
Hello, my name is David. I'll be reading the New Testament passage in French. You can follow along with the English translation on the screen. Mais quand Dieu, notre Sauveur, a révélé sa bonté et son amour pour les hommes, il nous a sauvés. S'il l'a fait, ce n'est pas parce que nous avons accompli des actes conformes à ce qui est juste. Non, il nous a sauvés parce qu'il a eu compassion de nous, en nous faisant percer par le bain purificateur de la nouvelle naissance, c'est-à-dire en nous renouvelant par le Saint-Esprit. Cet Esprit, il a répandu sur nous avec abondance par Jésus-Christ, notre Sauveur. The word of the Lord.
Hello, my name is Lou. If you're able, please stand for the gospel reading found in John 1, verses 29 through 34. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one about whom I said, 'He who comes after me is really greater than me because he existed before me.' Even I didn't recognize him, but I came baptizing with water so that he might be made known to Israel." John testified, "I saw the Spirit coming down from heaven like a dove, and it rested on him. Even I didn't recognize him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'The one on whom you see the Spirit coming down and resting is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and testified that this one is God's Son.'" The Gospel of the Lord.
Please remain, that was a little bit louder than I expected. Please remain standing with me as we pray. I learned that I do need to learn how to pray in French just so that it sounds so much better. That was amazing. Thank you, David. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray that you would open our ears to hear your scriptures today, that you would open our minds to understand, that you would open our hearts to your holy love, to your kind direction, to your wonderful and amazing grace, that we might live transformed lives that look more and more like your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated. Happy Eastertide. He is risen. It just doesn't get old saying it, so we'll just kind of keep going. It feels weird now that all the elementary students are like exited out of this section over here, just empty rows. If you feel like you need a little bit more room, feel free to spread out from there. My name is Jason. If you are visiting with us this morning, this is maybe your first or second time here. Welcome. We are so glad you're here. A special welcome to all the family members who came to celebrate with their loved ones on their water baptism today. It's so great to have you here with us. If you are new or newer, we'd love for you to fill out a guest card just so that we can get to know a little bit about who you are and answer any questions that you have. There's a QR code here on the screen, or there are physical copies out in the lobby. Next week, immediately after the service, we're having a lunch for anyone who's new. It's a time for you get to meet other people who are new and for us to sit down and have a meal together and tell you a little bit about life and New Life Downtown. So I'd love for you to join me next Sunday, immediately after service, over at the Commons. It's a block north and a block west, across from the Wild Goose. And I'd love to be able to spend that time with you. I want to tell you just a couple of like really quick, wonderful stories that have happened over the last couple of weeks. One was 2 weeks ago, we collected 1,000 pairs of socks to be able to give to our neighbors at the Springs Rescue Mission to care for the feet of the unhoused in our community. We're grateful for the rescue mission and all the work that they do. And for those of you who participate there as volunteers or Pastor David on staff, and for the wonderful work they do of caring for those in our community who find themselves without housing. And then last week we started Alpha. We had just over 60 people at our first Alpha gathering last Tuesday night for people to get together and ask questions about faith and discuss meaning and purpose and significance. So Jay and the team, thank you for welcoming our community into those conversations. All of these things are made possible because of your generosity. So as we continue in worship and as we prepare hearts to hear the scriptures this morning, I want to encourage you to give. We serve a generous God, and the practice of generosity aligns us with his life to take a portion of what it is that he's given to us and so freely share it with one another is how our whole life together happens. So thank you for your continued generosity for our life to be able to happen together, for us to cultivate a common life and to celebrate the way that God changes lives even in something like water baptism. We're going to be continuing our series today in the Gospel of John, but we're going to be jumping all the way back to chapter 1. So we did chapter 12 on Palm Sunday, then we jumped ahead to chapter 20 on Easter Sunday. Now we're going to jump back to chapter 1, and then we'll get back on track with chapter 13 next week. But I want to go back to chapter 1 because this is where water baptism is discussed. And I like in these moments when we do water baptism, we do it every year the Sunday after Easter, and always once in the fall, to come back and to talk about water baptism. What is it, and why do we do this? And I do that for a couple of reasons. One is if you have been baptized, if that is who you are, you're a baptized follower of Jesus, then what we spend the rest of our lives doing is living into our baptism, continuing to learn about the mystery of these waters and the mystery of our new identity in Jesus, the beauty and the wonder of it. So there's always more to learn and to explore about who we are as baptized followers of Jesus. But also, maybe you're here and you've never been baptized before. You're like visiting and maybe new to thinking about Christianity. You're like, what's the deal with the water thing? Like, I wasn't quite prepared for that. To share a little bit with you about why we do this, what it means for us, so that you might consider being baptized at some point as well. If you become a follower of Jesus, being baptized in the fall. Or maybe even today you're here going, I wanted to be baptized and I don't want to wait to the fall. Well, we left the tanks full. So after the service today, if you're like, I want to be baptized, we'll baptize you today. There is still time to be able to do that. So we're going to be in chapter 1 of John where, and this is where it gets confusing because we talk about John the Gospel, the writer of the Gospel, and John the Baptist. There are two Johns, and so it gets confusing. For those of you who have multiple J names in your name, you know, it just, you know, so happens, they kind of blend together. But we're talking about John the Baptist here. John the Baptist or John the Baptizer is a wild man. If you know anything about his story, this guy has a radical faith. And he lives a radical life. He lives the kind of life that's similar to the prophets in the Old Testament, or maybe some people living in the mountains in Colorado, one of the two from there. But John is out in the wilderness of Judea, so kind of down and out of the way, out of the center of life that's happening in Jerusalem. And he's calling people to repent. He's calling people to change their hearts and their minds and to prepare themselves for the arrival of the Messiah, the arrival of Jesus. And he's saying there's a way to prepare their hearts is to be baptized in the Jordan River. So he's out in the river baptizing people. And this practice isn't something that just comes out of nowhere where John starts doing this. In fact, it's deeply rooted in the Old Testament, particularly in the practice of ceremonial washing, which is talked a lot about in Leviticus and Numbers, everyone's favorite two books here that you've read multiple times already this year. But there's all these conversations about washing things, particularly as we're coming into worship, washing sacrifices and washing clothes and even washing bodies. But this is not about hygiene. Normally, when we read these, particularly, you know, sort of post-COVID, we immediately think like, oh, this is about a sanitary practice. This for the Old Testament is about a sanctifying practice. It's about purity. It's about a recognition that a holy God calls us to be holy before him. So it's an altogether different kind of practice. Yes, it does have hygienic sort of implications, but it really is about the state and the posture of one's heart to be holy before a holy God. And then between the Testaments, between the Old Testament and the New Testament, Jews began to actually build baths for these things to happen called mikvahs, where they would be able to take a ceremonial bath right around the temple, even in places, to be able to bathe before coming in to worship as a way of preparing their hearts for that. They would fully immerse themselves in water. In fact, archaeologists have found all kinds of mikvahs around the temple. So I thought whenever we do get a new building, we'll install baths, like just out in the lobby, and you know that we can have that as a preparatory practice for coming in to worship. I'm kidding, by the way, in case you hadn't picked up on that. But John the Baptist is building off of this idea. But he takes the idea of baptism, the idea of water, and moves it back out into the wild. Moves it away from these places of worship and back out into the wild, and particularly to the Jordan River, which is not simply because the Jordan River is the place where there's running water, but the Jordan River is the place where Israel first entered into the Promised Land. It's the place where they were recognizing and realizing God was doing a new thing, that he'd rescued them from Egypt, and he was now bringing them into the place that he had for them. And so John is saying, hey, God's getting ready to do a new thing. He's bringing about not just an entrance into the Promised Land, but an entrance into the kingdom of God, and he connects it to the Messiah, to the coming of Jesus. And so he's out baptizing, and then Jesus takes this practice even further. And it becomes a paradigm, a standard practice for followers of Jesus, that for 2,000 years, we have practiced baptism in one way, shape, or form. And what baptism does is it is a rite of initiation. It's a rite of entrance. It's a passageway, if you will. It marks our entrance into faith, that yes, we have become disciples, followers of Jesus. And as disciples of followers of Jesus, we've been united to a new family. This is why we do it at church in front of other people. It marks that entrance into new life and into new family. And so here in John chapter 1, we find two dimensions of what we might call baptism as a multidimensional mystery being emphasized here. One is the removal of sin, and the second is the renewal of the Spirit. So John chapter 1, verse 29 says this, "The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one about whom I said, he who comes after me is really greater than me because he existed even before I did.'" In this moment, what happens first is that Jesus comes toward John. Now, this may be like just an incidental detail in the narrative. It may just be a retelling of how this happened, but I think it is important to remember that that is all of our story, that all of our story began with Jesus coming to us, that we serve a God who comes near, a God who comes after us, a God who approaches. And he does so not because we're deserving, not because we've earned his attention or earned his affection, but he draws near to us simply because he loves us, that he made us, and he made us for relationship with him, and he wants to be in that relationship. So he comes looking for us. If you've ever been maybe in a moment in a crowd or at a new place, and feeling a little bit uncomfortable, and then you hear your name sort of cried out in the middle of the crowd, or somebody you know comes and finds you and searches you out, you can get a little bit of a glimpse of that feeling of feeling sort of lost and alone and confused, and then someone that you know, someone that loves you comes and finds you. This is the picture that we're getting here, that God is a God who's always coming after us. See, in the Christian life, initiation always belongs to God, and the response is always our part. Theologians refer to this as prevenient grace, the grace that becomes any faith, before it comes before any faith that we might have. So we can say baptism, along with any other dimension of our faith, begins with Jesus. Salvation begins with Jesus. Discipleship begins with Jesus. Baptism begins with Jesus. Yes, baptism is an act of obedience where Jesus says, hey, go and be baptized. And yes, it is a declaration of our faith where we stand before people and say, yes, I do believe, but more so, it is a celebration and a continuation of God's grace at work in our lives. It really is more about him. When I first came to New Life, we had baptism shirts that didn't say raised to new life. They said, I have decided, and I hated them because it places the emphasis on the wrong syllable. Yes, you have decided, but first you were rescued. First you were raised to new life. First, Jesus came after you. First, grace preceded faith. First, this happened, and now we're recognizing and celebrating all that God has done in Jesus. So baptism begins with Jesus. John, as he sees Jesus approaching him, says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In the original language in Greek, it says, behold, the Lamb of the God, the one who takes away the sin of the world. That's five thus in one sentence, five definite articles. It's like talking to a teenager and every other word is like. It's the same sort of feeling here. And then it says later, the Son of the God. We keep getting all of these definitive sort of statements. What John is saying here is incredibly controversial and confrontational in his time and even in ours. Then it was controversial and confrontational really on a political and religious arena. Now it's much more on the idea of philosophy and ideology, which of course plays itself out in every area of life. John the Baptist at the time is declaring something very definitive about Jesus's identity and his mission. He's saying that he is the divine Son of God, that he is the Messiah. He's the long-awaited one, and he's come to take away sin, not just the sin of Israel, but the sin of the entire world. Jesus, God is doing a unique thing in Jesus, and he's removing sin. He's not come just for Israel. He's come for everyone. We find that Jesus' work is so controversial that they put him to death for it. So for all of the conversations sometimes where we miss, like, oh, that just sounds nice and sweet, there's something radical happening here that we can't fail to miss. And sometimes the way we can catch it is to think about it in our own context of why is it confrontational or controversial for us? Because here we see in John's claim, the scripture's claim, is a claim of religious exclusivism over inclusivism or pluralism. The scriptures claim that Jesus is not just one of many options, that he's not just a God among gods or a guru among gurus, but that Jesus is the very divine Son of God, that Jesus is altogether different, and that his claims are a claim to exclusivity about himself. And not only do we find that claim, but we find a claim to a moral universalism over against a moral relativism. In the scriptures, we find that morality, what's right or wrong, good and evil, what's beautiful and true, is not self-determined, but is divinely revealed. It's being revealed. And it goes well beyond being nice or being good or being friendly, but about a life that's godly or holy, a way of life that aligns with the very character of God, that the scriptures claim is really the best for us and the best for others. And according to the scriptures, we have all missed that mark. We've all missed that mark in some way. The word that the scriptures use for that is sin. We use the phrase like, I blew it. Like, I messed up. I was at fault. I did something that I knew I shouldn't have done. And we've all blown it in big and in little ways. And we're all aware of it. Sometimes painfully so. Some of us carry the pain of that with us every moment of every day, where we know the damage and the disruption of our actions or our choices in our lives and in our relationships. Sometimes we feel it in a light way. Maybe this morning came into a gathering like this just feeling regrets. Regret about the decisions that were made last night, or regret about how the morning went with small children, or the conversation with your spouse on the way in, or the conversation with your roommate who left all the dirty dishes in the sink overnight and you woke up to that this morning. And we just like have a regret. Like, I wish I would have handled that differently. Sometimes we are looking for just opportunities for a mulligan, for a do-over. It's like, can we just start over? Can we try that again? And then there are other situations where we carry with us an immense amount of guilt, where it feels much heavier than that. And it kind of sort of goes with us wherever we go. Or maybe in a more private way, the feeling of shame and that fear that comes along with, I hope nobody ever knows that this was a part of my life. I hope nobody knows this. I hope this never gets out. I hope I can keep this hidden for a long period of time. And for all of us, whether we're dealing with it in big or little ways, we know that we need some pathway, some way to make it right, some way to get right with others, but not just to get right with others, but to get right even in ourselves, and more importantly, to get right with God. That we know that we desperately need forgiveness, but it goes even beyond that. We don't just need forgiveness. We need to be set free from the underlying conditions that cause us to continue to do those same things over and over and over again. And we know that we can't do that ourselves. We've tried. We've tried all the options. Let's just pretend that it didn't happen. Let's just forget about it and move on. Let's not dwell on the past. And yet, when we go to sleep at night, it's right there. Let's just, you know, forget about it, or let's justify it in some way. Let's not make it such a big deal. And yet we find ourselves still dealing with all kinds of emotional and relational and spiritual consequences that have come from those things. And what the scriptures claim is that Jesus is the only one that can do that for us. That Jesus is the pathway toward forgiveness. And that Jesus is the one that extends that to us. He's the only one who can forgive us, and not just us, but others, and in fact, the whole world. And Jesus is the one who is extending forgiveness to all. He's the one who came to take away the sin of the world. And notice the language says sin, not sins. It's talking about the entirety, the totality of the world's sin. One scholar says that what Jesus has come to do is an ontological removal. He's removing sin from the very essence of humanity. Another one says that it's an existential removal. He's removing sin from our lived experience. In other words, Jesus is removing sin, the very root of it. He's extricating it at the very source. He's not just removing the actions or the consequences of, you know, regret and guilt and shame and even the great consequence of death, but he's actually addressing it at its cause. He's forgiving us, and he's setting us free from the power that sin has over us. He's doing both. And what baptism is a recognition of that. It's a recognition that this is who Jesus is. This is what Jesus came to do. And it's what I have embraced in my own life, saying, Jesus, would you take away my sin? So baptism recognizes and realizes the removal of sin, that the power of Jesus to forgive is at work in the water, and it was at work in people's lives before the water. And in fact, it's at work in our lives after the water. It's in the ongoing experience of the follower of Jesus that we are continually experiencing the forgiveness of God and realizing it in greater ways the longer that we follow him. This is why we practice things that remind us of God's forgiveness. When we come to the table, we say a prayer of confession, and then we stand up into here and we say, in the name of Jesus, we are forgiven, because we so quickly forget. And we need to be reminded again. And we need to be set free again. And we need new grace and new mercy for today as we look at the day ahead of us. And then we'll need it again tomorrow. We constantly need an ongoing work of the Holy Spirit of forgiveness, that we can receive the fullness of God's work for us. That over the course of time, as we realize and receive forgiveness, we might begin to live free and full lives. This is the invitation of Jesus. John goes on and says this. It says, I saw the Spirit coming down from heaven like a dove, and it rested on Jesus. And even I didn't recognize him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water said to me that the one whom you see the Spirit coming down and resting on is the one who baptizes, not just with water, but with the Holy Spirit. Unlike Matthew, Mark, and Luke, John doesn't narrate Jesus' baptism. Instead, he has John the Baptist recount it. John the Baptist says they saw the Spirit come down and rest or remain, or the Greek word there can also be translated abide. So the Spirit abide with Jesus. And because the Spirit of the living God abides with Jesus, he baptizes not just with water, but with the Holy Spirit. Jesus has come not only to remove sin from us, but to deposit the Spirit of God within us. The Spirit that abides with Jesus now abides in all of us who are followers of Jesus. And these are not two separate events, as some traditions claim, but they're two aspects of salvation. And salvation is about forgiveness of sin and the reception of the Holy Spirit. Titus puts it this way: he saved us because of his mercy, not because of the righteous things that we had done, but he did it through the washing of new birth and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, which God poured out generously upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. In other words, everybody got a massive dose of the Spirit. Not like, you know, a little bit over here and a little bit over here and this person got more than that person. No, the Spirit has been generously poured out on all of us. So if you are a follower of Jesus, you have been forgiven. You have been and are being set free. And you have been filled with the Spirit and are continually being filled with the Spirit of God. And baptism recognizes that. It recognizes and realizes the filling, the renewal of the Holy Spirit. It recognizes the abiding presence of the Spirit of God living in us and realizes its ongoing filling. This is why when people come up out of the water, we anoint them with oil and say, be filled with the Spirit. Because like forgiveness, baptism or filling in the Holy Spirit is an ongoing experience, not just a one-time event. Paul puts it this way. He says, don't get drunk on wine, which produces depravity. Instead, be filled. In the original language, be continually filled. Be being filled with the Spirit in the following ways. And then he goes and lists a number of ways that we open up our lives to the work of the Spirit. The ways that we open ourselves up to receive the renewing and empowering of God's Spirit in us. For it's the Spirit that sanctifies us, that makes us holy, that shows us how to live in new ways. We heard that even in the Old Testament prophecy from Ezekiel about what the Spirit would do, is that God says, I will give you my Spirit. Why? So that you can walk according to my regulations and carefully observe my case laws. In other words, you can live like Jesus. You can learn to live in a new way. You can learn to live a life that aligns with the very character and nature of God. And that doesn't mean that people who are outside of faith aren't capable of doing good things. Every one of us is made in the image of God and has the capacity to reflect God's image in the world. What it means for the follower of Jesus, there's an additional power at work beyond just our willpower. It doesn't override us, but it works along with us and helps us, works and participates in us to transform us at the very core essence of our being, that even our motives might be changed. The things that we do might be done out of holy love for God and for others. Sometimes this is perceptible right away in someone's life, but for most of it, it's perceptible over time. As we learn to participate with the Spirit and to receive his continual work in us, we start to see change happening over the course of time. The hope is that after we've been following Jesus 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years, we look back and go, wow, I'm not the same person anymore. And sometimes that's most evident when we go through the hardest of things. That when we go through suffering, all of a sudden we find that we're responding in ways that we never thought possible before, because the Spirit of God is birthing something new in us that changes us from the inside out. The Spirit not only empowers us to live in different ways, but empowers us to bear witness to the resurrection. Jesus said it this way in Acts chapter 1. He tells the disciples to go and gather together and wait for the Spirit. It says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of the earth. In other words, you'll carry on the very work that Jesus started, that you'll carry on the ongoing work of God in the world that is entrusted now to the Spirit-filled church. There's an additional power at work in us to teach us to live in new ways, but there's also an additional power at work through us that we might minister to other people, that we might serve one another, that we might bear witness to the kingdom that has already come, though it's not yet fully realized in one another's lives. We can participate more fully in that, not only for our sakes, but more importantly, for the sake of others. This is why we do things like pray for healing. This is why when we gather, we're listening not only for what Jesus might have to say to us, but what he might have to say through us. Jesus, do you have a word of encouragement for somebody else? Is there something that you want me to share with someone? Are you leading me to pray for someone? Are you leading me in some way to give a piece of what you've placed in me to this person in this season for this time, that the whole church might be built up and come into maturity, that we might all look more like Jesus? It's because the Spirit of God is at work within us. What does all of this mean? All of it means is that the whole life of God is available to all of us. The whole life of God. As Micah and Blake come up to lead us in communion today, I want us to take just a moment right now and stop and reflect on those two dimensions. The dimension of the removal of sin and the dimension of the renewal of the Spirit. And if you would, close your eyes this morning, open up your hands, assume a kind of posture of prayer. And if you find yourself today feeling overcome by shame, by fear, by regret, by guilt, caught in a repetitive pattern of behavior, what our Celebrate Recovery ministry calls a hurt, a habit, a hang-up, things that are keeping us from experiencing the abundance of God, and you need to receive once again the forgiveness of Jesus or the freedom that Jesus offers, would you just take a risk and say, Jesus, would you show me your forgiveness today? Or Jesus, would you show me the pathway to freedom? Would you set me free? Teach me to live in new ways. Or maybe what you're catching on in the sermon is the renewal of the Spirit. And you want to know more about the Spirit, what life with the Spirit looks like. Either that help to live in ways that look more and more like Jesus over time, or that power that works through us for the sake of others. Would you ask, Spirit of the living God, would you fill me, continue to fill me? Would you show me and help me how to walk in paths of righteousness for your name's sake? And would you lead me in the kingdom way of life, that the whole life of God might not only come to me, but might come through me for the sake of others.
So friends, together we draw into this Jesus table. The table set before us is the one that he set for all of us. And it's for any who follow him as Lord, regardless of your church affiliation or your background. If it doesn't describe you as someone who's actively following Jesus, thank you so much for being here with us today. Thank you for joining us, for being courageous to come into this space, to worship, to ask questions, to be curious. We're honored that you're here. We ask you to keep coming back. We're encouraged that you're with us, and we hope to see you again. But if you're ready to begin following Jesus, we all have the opportunity to come to him, to confess our sin, to ask him for forgiveness and trust him for our salvation. So join us in this prayer. It'll be on the screens for us all. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. So it is my joy to get to announce to us all this good news. Words that are true, not because I or anyone else says them, but because of what we've heard that Jesus does for us and continues to do for us. So would you open your hands and receive again the mercy of God? Jesus died for us while we were yet sinners. This proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. The peace of the Lord be with you. Thank you. So as a sign of our resurrection in Christ, would you stand and greet those around you in the peace of Christ? In that peace, let us proclaim this joyful, joyful truth that Jesus is here. His Spirit is with us. So lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give Him thanks and praise. Let's do that together, would we? It is a good and joyful thing to give thanks to you, Father Almighty. You formed us in your image. You breathed your life into us. When our love failed, your love remained steadfast. When we were unfaithful, you sent your Son to be faithful on our behalf. And we remember that in this story and in this truth in this moment, that on the night he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread. And when he blessed it, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And after supper, he took the cup, a cup of wine, and he'd given thanks. He gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we proclaim this mystery of our faith. That Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Would you stretch out your hands with me in this moment as we invite the Holy Spirit to be with us in new and fresh and profound ways through these elements and through this space? Pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. May they be for us the body and blood of Jesus, that we may be for the world the body of Jesus, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Jesus, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until you, Lord Christ, return in final victory. Amen. I'll invite the servers up at this time. Friends, these are the gifts of God. They're given for us, the people of God. Receive them in remembrance that Jesus died for you. Thank you, David and Carmen. Receive them and feed on him in your hearts by faith and with thanksgiving. Friends, this is a special Sunday with it being Baptism Sunday. If it's your first time joining us, welcome. We're so glad you're here. If you need some more instructions on how to take communion, you can scan the QR codes on the screen or simply follow along. And what makes today a little bit more special, you'll notice there's some folks holding bowls of water. These are bowls of water from the baptismal. And it's an opportunity for each of us to remember our baptism. So if you've been baptized, we invite you to dip your fingers in that water. You can make the sign of the cross on yourself or put it on your hands. And the server will say to you, "Remember your baptism." An opportunity that we don't often get to come to the sacrament of baptism and have that tactile reminder of Christ making us new. So as we come to the table, we invite you to join in that expression today. If you're in the balcony, there should be some prepackaged elements up there for you, but we also invite you to come into this section here on your right to join into the procession. Let's come to the table in worship and remembrance of all Jesus has done, is doing, and hope for what he will do.
for the Lord God Almighty reigns. Alleluia. Alleluia. For the Lord God Almighty. Worthy is the Lamb.
King of love had given up his life. The darkest day in history. There on a cross they made for sinners. For every curse is blood atoned. One final breath and it was finished. But not the end we could have known. For the earth began to shake. The veil is torn. What sacrifice was made as the heavens roar? All hail King Jesus. All
this together.
Here I am.
So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Here I am.
So here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. Here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
One last time, I'm going to sing All Hail King Jesus. Every voice, lift it up, all hail.
Can we give the Lord praise again one more time together? Amen. What a beautiful Sunday. I love Baptism Sunday. What an opportunity to come together to be reminded of all that Christ has done. So if you're one of the folks who are considering joining into that journey and getting into the waters today, they're still open. We welcome you. Come find one of the pastors. We'd love to talk with you and get you into the water today. If the Lord has stirred in your hearts in any way and you're just looking for prayer, know that this team that has just served you communion is here to pray with you as well. So come, join in with them and seek the Lord together. And a couple of quick reminders for you coming up in the next few weeks. So this Saturday, we have our first full men's day retreat. It's going to run from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m., an opportunity for us as guys to get together and talk about how we grow in friendship. And then 2 weeks later, the women are going to be doing the same thing, joining together from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. and having their own conversations about what it looks to grow in spiritual friendship with the Lord and with each other. If you're looking for more information, you can find some drop cards at the doors outside of the sanctuary or come and talk to any one of us. We'd love to talk with you more. And lastly, we have an opportunity to join in with one of our partners, 'Cause I Love You, for their Spring City Serve Day. That's May 3rd and 4th. You can head to their website and find some more information on how to join in on one of these projects on either of these 2 days. There's plenty of things to jump in on. Pastor Jason's going to be helping out at Mary's Home. Pastor Catherine's going to be helping out at Hope and Home. And more of us will be letting out some more information on the things we're going to be joining into. So come join us as we serve the city to be in the city for the sake of city as Christ continues to make us one. So would you open your hands today with all that we've experienced to realize that we're walking out of here transformed, being transformed, made new. So in all that, be blessed as the Lord turns his face towards you. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he make his face shine upon you and be gracious towards you. May he turn his face towards you everywhere you go and bring you the deepest of peace. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord this week. We hope to see you around the city and back here again next Sunday. Amen.
Check one, two. Whoa, it's really loud. Hey, we are going to have one more baptism if anybody wants to come down and celebrate. Ashley's changing, so she'll be back in just a minute. So if anyone wants to come down and celebrate with us, we'll celebrate Ashley's baptism here in just a second.